Chapter 39. Daniel, a captive in Babylon. This chapter is based on Daniel 1. Among the children of Israel carried captive to Babylon were men as true as steel to principle, men who would honor God at the loss of all things. In the land of their captivity, these were to carry out God's purposes as his representatives. Their faith and their name as worshipers of the living God, they were to bear as a high honor. The fact that they were captives and that the vessels of God's house had been placed in the temple of the Babylonish gods was cited by the victors as evidence that their religion was superior to that of the Hebrews. Yet God gave Babylon evidence of his supremacy, of the holiness of his requirements, and of the sure results of obedience. Daniel and his three companions were illustrious examples of what men may become who unite with God. From the simplicity of their home, these youth of royal line were taken to the most magnificent of cities and into the court of the world's greatest monarch. They were children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. Seeing in these youth remarkable ability, Nebuchadnezzar determined that they should be trained to fill important positions. He arranged for them to learn the language of the Chaldeans, and for 3 years to be granted the unusual educational advantages afforded princes of the realm. The king did not compel the Hebrew youth to renounce their faith in favor of idolatry, but he hoped to bring this about gradually. By giving them names significant of idolatry, by bringing them daily into close association with idolatrous customs, and under the influence of the seductive rites of heathen worship, he hoped to induce them to renounce their religion and to unite with the worship of the Babylonians. Idolatry and seductive temptation. At the very outset, there came a decisive test of character. It was provided that they should eat the food and drink the wine that came from the king's table. In this, the king thought to express his solicitude for their welfare. But the food from the king's table was consecrated to idolatry, and partaking of it would be regarded as offering homage to the gods of Babylon. In such homage, Daniel and his companions would deny their faith and dishonor the principles of the law of God. Nor dared they risk the enervating effect of luxury and dissipation on physical, mental, and spiritual development. They were acquainted with the intemperance of Nadab and Abihu and its results, and knew that their own physical and mental powers would be injuriously affected by wine. Daniel and his associates had been taught that God would hold them accountable for their capabilities, and that they must never dwarf or enfeeble their powers. Strong were the temptations in that corrupt and luxurious court, but they remained uncontaminated. No influence could sway them from the principles they had learned in early life by a study of the word and works of God. Daniel might have found a plausible excuse for departing from strictly temperate habits. He might have argued that should he adhere to the divine teaching, he would offend the king and probably lose his position and his life. If he should disregard the commandment of the Lord, he would secure intellectual advantages and flattering worldly prospects. But Daniel did not hesitate. He determined to stand firm. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. In this, he was supported by his three companions. In reaching this decision, the Hebrew youth did not act presumptuously. They did not choose to be singular, but they would be so rather than dishonor God. The first wrong step would lead to others, until, their connection with heaven severed, they would be swept away by temptation. God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs, and the request was received with respect. Yet the prince hesitated. "I fear my lord the king," he explained to Daniel, "for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king." Daniel appeals to another authority. Daniel then appealed to Melzer, the officer in special charge of the Hebrew youth. He asked that the matter be tested by a 10-day trial, the Hebrew youth being supplied with simple food, while their companions ate the king's dainties. Melzer, though fearful, consented. At the end of 10 days, the result was the opposite of the prince's fears. Their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. As a result, Daniel and his associates were permitted their simple diet during their entire course of training.
For 3 years, the Hebrew youth studied, depending constantly on God's power. It was not pride or ambition that had brought them to the king's court. They were captives in a strange land. Separated from home, they sought to acquit themselves creditably, for the honor of their downtrodden people, and for the glory of Him whose servants they were. The Lord regarded with approval their purity of motive, and He gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. The promise was fulfilled: "Them that honor me, I will honor." 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. While receiving instruction from man in the duties of court life, Daniel was being taught by God to read the mysteries of the future and to record for coming generations through figures and symbols events covering history till the close of time. The great results of true health reform. When the time came for the Hebrew youth to be examined for the service of the kingdom, among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their keen comprehension, their wide knowledge, their exact language testified to the unimpaired strength and vigor of their mental powers. Therefore stood they before the king. At the court of Babylon were gathered from all lands men of the highest talent, richly endowed with natural gifts, and possessed of the broadest culture the world could bestow. Among them all, the Hebrew youth were without a peer in physical strength, mental vigor, and literary attainment. The erect form, the firm step, the fair countenance, the undimmed senses, the untainted breath, all were insignia of the nobility with which nature honors those who are obedient to her laws. In acquiring the wisdom of the Babylonians, Daniel and his companions were far more successful than their fellow students. They obtained their knowledge under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, making the knowledge of God the foundation of their education. They prayed for wisdom, and they improved every opportunity to become intelligent in all lines of learning. They followed the rules of life that could not fail to give them strength of intellect. Constantly praying, conscientiously studying, keeping in touch with the unseen, they walked with God, as did Enoch. True success in any line of work is not the result of chance or accident or destiny. It is the outworking of God's providences, the reward of faith and discretion, of virtue and perseverance. Fine mental qualities and a high moral tone are not the result of accident. God gives opportunities. Success depends on the use made of them. Herein is revealed the divine principle of cooperation. To make God's grace our own, we must act our part. His grace is given to work in us to will and to do, but never as a substitute for our effort. As the Lord cooperated with Daniel, so He will cooperate with all who strive to do His will. By His Spirit, He will strengthen every true purpose, every noble resolution. Those who walk in the path of obedience will encounter many hindrances, but the Lord is able to render futile every agency that works for the defeat of His chosen ones. In His strength, they may overcome every temptation, conquer every difficulty. The secret of Daniel's success. God brought Daniel and his associates into connection with the great men of Babylon that they might represent his character. Faithfulness in little things gave complexion to their whole life. They honored God in the smallest duties as well as in larger responsibilities. As God called Daniel, He calls us to be His witnesses in the world today. He desires us to reveal the principles of His kingdom. Many are waiting for some great work, while daily they fail of discharging with wholeheartedness the little duties of life. While they wait for some large work in which they may exercise supposedly great talents, their days pass away. We shall be judged by what we ought to have done but did not accomplish because we did not use our powers to glorify God. A noble character is not the result of accident. It is the result of self-discipline, of subjection of the lower to the higher nature, of the surrender of self to the service of God and man. Today there is need of men who, like Daniel, will do and dare for the cause of right. Pure hearts, strong hands, fearless courage are needed. To every soul, Satan comes with temptation in many alluring forms on the point of indulgence of appetite.
The body is a most important medium through which the mind and soul are developed for the upbuilding of character. Hence, the adversary directs his temptations to enfeebling and degrading the physical powers. Success here often means the surrender of the whole being to evil. The tendencies of the physical nature, unless under the dominion of a higher power, will work ruin and death. The passions are to be controlled by the will, which is itself to be under the control of God. The kingly power of reason, sanctified by grace, is to bear sway in the life. Intellectual power, physical stamina, and length of life depend upon immutable laws. Through obedience to these laws, man may stand conqueror of himself, conqueror of his own inclinations, conqueror of the rulers of the darkness of this world. Ephesians 6, verse 12. The Hebrew worthies were men of like passions with ourselves, yet they stood firm because they depended on a strength that is infinite. In them, a heathen nation beheld an illustration of the beneficence of God and the love of Christ. And in their experience, we have an instance of the triumph of principle over temptation, of purity over depravity, of devotion and loyalty over atheism and idolatry. The youth of today may draw from the same source of strength and reveal the same grace in their lives, even under circumstances as unfavorable. Though surrounded by temptations, especially in large cities, where sensual gratification is made easy and inviting, by divine grace they may withstand every temptation that assails the soul. But only by him who determines to do right will the victory be gained. As these noble Hebrews bade farewell to their childhood home, little did they dream what a high destiny was to be theirs. They yielded to the divine guiding so that through them God could fulfill his purpose. The life of Daniel and his fellows is a demonstration of what God will do for youth and children today who yield themselves to him and with the whole heart seek to accomplish his purpose.